It's kind of a fun weekend for me. I've never been at a parish before that had its own set of rose vestments. So this is the first time I've ever celebrated Mass wearing these colors. It's been pretty fun. This weekend we celebrate Gaudete Sunday. It's the third Sunday of Advent. And it is with great joy, it's with great rejoicing that we celebrate this weekend. You know, the church places this weekend ahead of us and before us because the third Sunday of Advent is kind of like the hump day of Advent, right? And it's like, woo-woo! Well, hump day, it's Advent, Gaudete, rejoice. And we do, we're full of rejoicing, we're full of joy in our hearts because we're over halfway done with the Advent season. We're on our way to celebrate the great joy that we have at Christmas. Now this Sunday, this wonderful feast, this wonderful weekend that we have of Gaudete Sunday is a reminder to us that we are to be filled with joy, that our hearts are to be rejoicing. And the readings are full of those images of the need to have joy in our hearts, the need to be able to see God's love. In that first reading from Isaiah, in the parched land and the desert, flowers bloom. And the people of Israel rejoice and exult because they know that their God is coming. My friends, we know that our God is coming because just in 10 days, we'll celebrate the feast of His birth, of the Word becoming flesh and dwelling among us. It's also a great chance, an opportunity for us as Christians to know that we are always called to be people of joy. That we are to have that joy in our heart as we look forward to that day where we will see our God. This is not the only Sunday in the whole year that we are to have our hearts filled with joy. This is not the only time that we are to go rejoicing. We're called to do that all of the time because our Lord is at hand, because our Lord is present in our midst. In the gospel today, John the Baptist, he's struggling a little bit. He's having a tough time because he's in jail. And he knows that the end is probably coming soon for him. We know the story of how John the Baptist dies. He knows that he's going to have to die soon. And so he's there in jail and he asks his disciples, he says, "Can you guys do me a favor? Can you make sure that that Jesus that I was proclaiming that was the Messiah, can you make sure that he is who he says he was and that I didn't, like, you know, make a mistake?" And so he goes out and the disciples go to Jesus and they say, "Hey, look, John's really struggling. Can you assure us that you are the Messiah?" And he says, "Just go tell John the Baptist what you've seen. Tell him that you've seen the blind be able to see again. Tell him that you've seen the lame being able to walk. Tell him that you've seen the good news of the Lord proclaimed to the world. Tell him what you've seen." And then Jesus uses this opportunity to explain to everybody what a man of joy that John the Baptist was. That John the Baptist spent his life proclaiming the love of the Lord in his heart. And that John the Baptist, even though he was wearing camel skin and eating locusts and honey, probably wasn't having a lot of fun, he was full of joy because he knew that his Redeemer was at hand. And he knew that the Messiah was on his way. You see, my friends, that's why we are called to be people of joy, because we know that our God is coming. We know that our God has something great in store for all of us. And so we come to the Lord week after week and day after day to say, "Lord, be in our hearts. Set our hearts on fire with joy. Allow us to receive the goodness and glory that you have for us." It's kind of sad sometimes when I see people walking into church and people are walking down like, "Oh, got to go to Mass. It's Sunday. Got to do my obligation." It's really sad when people come up for communion and people are walking down in line. All right. We should come before the Lord with hearts rejoicing. Like, yeah, we get to go worship the Lord today. We get to receive the greatest treasure the world has ever known, our Lord Jesus in the Eucharist. But we don't do that all the time because sometimes the world and life gets in the way and it stifles our joy. But our Lord Jesus tells us, "Be filled with joy because I love you. Be filled with joy because I give you a lot of great gifts." If you're confused on what joy is, let me tell you what joy is not. Second week of the NFL season, the Texans are 2-0. City Houston was happy, excited. "Man, we had two great wins. We're going to go to the Super Bowl this year." And then they lost and lost and lost and lost 12 straight. And then we're like, "Oh, man, that happiness was replaced with sadness and sorrow and despair." Now, joy is not something that's going to pass away. Joy is something that's eternal. Now, happiness is something that we feel for a little while and then it goes away. But joy is something that we hold on to for a long time. Let me tell you what joy is. Joy is a person who's suffering from a debilitating illness, maybe cancer. And that person is in so much pain that they can't even get out of bed. Maybe they lost all of their hair, and they can't do nearly the amount of things that they used to do. But there's a joy in their heart because there's a peace that fills them, that they know they are going to see Jesus, and they know that the day of our Lord's salvation is at hand. That's what it means to have joy in our hearts, of knowing that nothing that goes on in the world, no fire that's happening, no crazy stuff that's going on around us is going to keep us from experiencing the peace and the love that our Lord has for us. We are called to be people of joy because our God is very good. Now, just recently, Pope Francis released a document called The Joy of the Gospels, where he told the faithful, celebrate with love. Be excited about the promises that our God has for us. Read the scriptures with fervor. Go to Mass with joy in your heart. Look forward to the day of salvation when our Lord will come again, because that's what it means to be people of joy. Now, Pope Francis just recently was named Time's Person of the Year. And it's not because, as some media people think, that Pope Francis is going to change the church's stale teaching on social issues. He's not going to do that. But the reason that people are drawn to Pope Francis is because of the joy that exists in his heart. That when you look at Pope Francis, you see there's a guy who loves God. And there's a guy who wants us to love God. You see, we strive to follow the example of Pope Francis. We hope to live our lives in a way that the joy of the Lord comes through our lives, so that when people see us, they say, I want what they have. I want the peace and joy that they have in their lives. You see, my friends, if we do that, if we allow the joy of the Lord to come to us on this Sunday, throughout our lives, the world will be changed. Because there will be joy, there will be hope, there will be love. And people will want to know God. They will want to fall deeper in love with this God who created them, who made them, who loves them. It's our call, it's our challenge, my friends, to be a people of joy, to allow His love to come into our lives, to change us, to fire us up, so that we can tell everybody how good our God is. As we continue today to give praise and glory to our God for all the gifts that He gives us, we ask Him especially to fill our hearts with joy on the Sunday, that we may know His love, that we may be filled with His peace, and that His joy may reign in our lives and in our hearts.